Hey, everybody. This episode of the Press Room Podcast is brought to you by Out of the Park Baseball 18. Man, we are excited about it this year. It comes out on March 24th, but if you pre-order it today, not only do you get a 10% discount, you also get it 4 days early. Get it on March 20th instead of the 24th. We're very excited about Out of the Park Baseball 18. It's the follow-up to the 2016 Metacritic PC Game of the Year, and it's got a whole bunch of cool new stuff this year. You thought the game couldn't get any bigger and deeper. You were wrong. We've got an all-new challenge mode, so you can compare and contrast your achievements among all the different people in the fantastic Out of the Park community. For the first time ever, it has the inclusion of the historic Negro League, so all of those great players of the past who were barred from playing in the major leagues, like Cool Papa Bell and Josh Gibson and, of course, Satchel Paige, who pitched for about 50 years. He eventually made it to the major leagues, but way past his prime. All those players in their prime available, and you can use them in all sorts of different ways. You can remove the color barrier way before it actually happened, and you can pit those teams against real major league teams, or you can put those players directly, sprinkle them all throughout the major leagues. You can do all sorts of great stuff. You got all sorts of new tournament modes available. Man, I mean, I can't even get started on all the different stuff that's happening in Out of the Park Baseball 18. Can you tell I'm excited? I'm excited. So go to ootpdevelopments.com today and pre-order it. Like I said, you get 10% off. And be sure to check out next Wednesday night on March 15th. TJ Lowerman will be live streaming at 9 p.m. the unveiling of our perfect team digital cover. For the first time ever, Out of the Park Baseball has a digital cover. One player wasn't enough. We went with a whole team and a manager. So TJ is going to unveil that live on twitch.tv/OOTP Developments. You can always check out our YouTube channel a day or two later to see the archive. So check that out. We live stream every Wednesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern for Out of the Park Baseball and every Wednesday night at 10 p.m. Eastern for Franchise Hockey Manager. Thank you, everybody. Enjoy the show. Well, in case you had missed it, racing games are back. And they're back in a big way. And for those of you who have listened to the Press Row podcast for a long time, you know that we like to regularly get together with racing experts and talk about everything going on. And no time like now to look forward to 2017 as well as look back to 2016. And we have our racing expert, Greg Stewart, from the Player One podcast in Generation 16 here with us. Greg, welcome, sir.
Hello, thank you. Glad to be here.
We've also got another Hit the Pass regular, Dr. Ken from Down Under. Welcome, sir.
G'day, Rich. G'day, everybody. Happy to report that the Forza Horizon Festival is still going strong down here. We've just reached our millionth fatality. So,
wow.
The organizers are promising a safer next year.
My goodness.
That got dark.
And for the first time on the show, longtime friend of the show, definitely mentioned him dozens of times on our Twitter responses. Dave Benry, Senior NASCAR, welcome, sir.
Thank you very much, Rich. It's a pleasure to be here. Listened to the show for a very long time and absolutely love it, and it is an honor to be here to talk about racing games with all of you.
So before we look ahead, we got to look back. 2016, some great racing games. Go around the table real quick. What was your favorite, Mr. Benry?
Well, hands down for me, F1 2016 takes the cake. I loved it, every aspect of it. I think it delivered what I was looking for. You know, last year's offering was just not up to par, the 2015 version. And this came, well, I mean, brought everything I was expecting and more. The multiplayer options were incredible. The fact that you could save progress in a multiplayer championship with friends, I mean, that took it to another level. So, yeah, that would be top title for me.
What could have been the top title but wasn't?
What could have been? Well, I would have loved NASCAR Heat Evolution to be anywhere near there, but unfortunately it was a huge disappointment.
Greg, you accused me of taking it to a dark place early on, and, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, just it, not at all. I mean, if you were to name another title that probably couldn't quite get there, maybe Project Cars 1 was, you know, almost there. It had a lot of missing pieces, in my opinion.
Greg Seward, what was your favorite racing game in 2016?
F1 2016, hands down. I'm a huge, huge fan of Forza Horizon as well. It's a fantastic game. But there's just nothing like F1 2016. It gave me everything I wanted from that series. Especially, it was an especially nice surprise, like Dave said, after 2015, which was, you know, a little lacking. I love the career mode. I'm still playing through it. I'm only just about to finish my first season, but that's included some amazing drives. Just anything can and will happen in that game, and it just feels like F1 should feel. So absolutely adore it.
What would have your favorite been had it not been for F1?
My favorite had it not been for F1 would have been Forza Horizon. It was a very close second for me.
Going to talk about that in a minute. Dr. Ken, what was your favorite racing game in 2016?
Yeah, I'm going to be the third to suggest that Formula One was the best racing game of the year. But rather than repeat the superlatives of that, I suppose that the runner-up would have been Forza Horizon 3. That's the game that I've put the most hours into this year, and it's one of the games I've put the most hours into ever. And one of the things that I really like about Horizon is that it's actually continuing to support the community and add on. Every weekend, there are new events and challenges that pop up through the Thoughts-a-thon feature. And, you know, that enables you to try your hand at three different types of challenge, and you actually get in-game rewards, and quite often you actually will be rewarded with cars that actually aren't available in any other way other than doing those Forza-thon challenges. And it's great when you get them, which makes them very rare and very prestigious. It's kind of annoying when you have a busy weekend and you don't get around to doing them. And I will never get that Lola, thanks Forza Horizon. But yeah, it's a fantastic game, and it's really demonstrated the way that a racing game can be supported over a longer term as well.
I thoroughly enjoyed Forza Horizon 3. I got to a point, and I actually just recently logged back in and raced a few more times in the last couple of days. I got to a point, though, where there was just so many different places to go and things to do, I didn't even know what to do anymore. I mean, I don't know.
It can be overwhelming.
I don't know how many hours I had put in to get to that point, but it hadn't been more than probably 15, and I just don't know what to do and what's important. Am I chasing fans? Am I chasing billboards? Am I chasing? I don't know what exactly is going on with so many different options. I found it difficult, but the racing is spectacular, and the rewards are generous. And today and yesterday reminded me why the game is so good. So I guess you've berated me on Twitter, Dr. Ken. You said, just ask Siri or whatever her name is. But every time Siri makes a recommendation to me, I don't want to go do that. Like, she's always trying to get me to go do bucket lists. I'm like, I don't want to do bucket lists. Those are, like, for me personally, the least entertaining things. So anyway, that's where I am with Forza Horizon 3. But I'm still got that itch to go back in there because it is so good.
Well, I'd say this, Rich, if you ever have a time to spare, I think there's three other people on this podcast tonight that'd be very happy to take you on an online adventure and go show you my home country and all the sights that it has to see.
Now, again, real quick, have you gotten the Blizzard, Blizzard Mountain? Have you gotten that DLC? I don't think you have, Greg. You've mentioned that you haven't, I think, on Player One.
No, and actually, I will say that one of the it's not a bad thing, but one of the things that kind of caught me by surprise with Forza Horizon 3 was I finished the game, and I wasn't expecting to finish. Finished as in I unlocked the ending and the credit scroll, and I wasn't expecting it. It was actually a really anticlimactic ending. The final event was just like, yeah, okay, sure. That was something. Still have tons of things to do on the map, though. So no, I have not grabbed the DLC yet. I'm still just kind of pecking away at the game, still savoring it. There's still so much to enjoy in that game. You can turn it on for like half an hour, go do a race, go smash a billboard, go do a stunt, and then turn it off and feel like you've accomplished something. And that's kind of what I'm doing with that game right now. So I will eventually get to the DLC, but I haven't yet.
Dave, did you get Blizzard Mountain?
I have not gotten it yet. Ken has told me you have to get it. Haven't done it yet, and I will. I'm excited for it. I heard that Brian is also loving that DLC, so I do want to get it and try it out. But I'm still sort of like Greg. There's so much still to do in the main game that it's like, that. Am I going to get an add-on when I already have so much to do in the main game? I'm not there yet, but I will.
Dr. Ken, how good is Blizzard Mountain?
It's really good. I mean, the handling on the snow is different and fun. The actual map that you've got is condensed. It's probably so in the main Forza game, the each kind of area is you have those four main areas. So you've got the Outback and you've got Surfers and Yarra and the Coffs Harbour area. Byron Bay it is, sorry. Blizzard Mountain is about one and a half of those particular areas, so it's a decent size map that you've got to work with. You've got this large mountain that has all these hill climb events up to it, and then you've got, as you go down through the valley, you've got a ski town, and a series of events there. One of the interesting things about it is that it actually changes up the way that the races work. And so you get one star for completing the event. You get two stars if you win the event. But to get a third star, you actually have to complete a certain challenge in the race. And it might be do two drift taps. It might be complete a certain amount of skill points, do a certain amount of wreckage. And that changes the way that you play the game, so that you're actually not just trying to win the race, but you actually go to win the race with certain parameters. That can be frustrating, but you can always lower the AI difficulty and make it a bit easier to actually win the race, and then you can concentrate on that particular event. But I find it changes up the way that the way the game works, and obviously adds to it, so it's not just Forza Horizon on snow, which in of itself is actually pretty cool.
Very cool.
All right, so 2017, lots happening. Dr. Ken, you reached out a little while ago and said, hey, all of this great stuff is happening. Let's get the band together and talk about this. So I'm going to toss it to you. What has you most excited for 2017? There's a lot that there's a lot that you've mentioned, like Project Cars 2, GTR 2018, Dirt 4, the next Need for Speed, Gran Turismo. That is still a franchise that I think exists. Forza 7, I'm sure, will be out there, right? You listed this all clearly. What's at the top of your list?
I think Dirt 4 has me the most excited. And I really enjoyed Dirt Rally when it came to consoles. It was an incredibly difficult, incredibly challenging game. When your co-driver said, don't cut, the temptation was always there to cut. And every time you cut, you'd end up off the side of the cliff. The only thing I disliked about Dirt was that it had, I think, about six different environments and maybe 12 stages per environment. And you found yourself, it was quite repetitive on the rally courses that you would go under. With Dirt 4, they've blown it right out by all accounts, and they're introducing procedurally generated rally courses. And ooh, with that, the possibilities really are endless. And basically strapping on a procedurally generated course design onto that incredible handling model and incredibly graphics and well-polished career mode, I think Dirt 4 is potentially going to be absolutely brilliant.
Greg, what racing game are you tracking the most right now, just personally? You know, there's a whole bunch coming down the pipeline. You have played most of them over the last few years. What are you looking forward to the most?
It's got to be Gran Turismo Sport, I still believe. I actually got to play that at GDC this week. Got to sit down in a whole rig, and I was just totally taken by it.
Breaking news here. Absolutely loved it. This is good stuff.
Yeah. So it really rekindled my fever for that game, for sure. Glad I have a wheel for my PS4, because that will obviously be the way to play it. Although I will say it just looks like a nicer looking version of Gran Turismo. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but that is what it is. For me, though, I am really curious about the next Need for Speed, just because I can't seem to let that series go. I don't know why, because I've been disappointed by it for years and years and years. But I still, anytime a new one comes out, I really tend to follow it closely and sort of hope beyond hope that it's going to be worth playing.
What did you think of the last Need for Speed? I thought it was fun. I thought it was ridiculous with the story, but I thought the racing was fun and the environment was challenging. I mean, I didn't play it a tremendous amount, but I definitely put more time into Need for Speed than I was expecting to, that's for sure.
I played it for about 2 hours and gave up on it.
Hey, everybody. I want to take just a moment here to thank our sponsors this week, Blue Apron. I'm a fan. I am a current customer. I use their services on a regular basis, and I am not a cook. But Blue Apron actually makes me functional as a cook. And believe it or not, once I'm done with everything that they sent, I've got really great food prepared for myself and my family. My wife, she's the cook of the family. She is a great cook. I did not grow up cooking or really never even learned how to cook and never really had to. But it's nice to sort of turn the tables every once in a while. And that's exactly what Blue Apron lets us do. And my son helps me out with it too, which is a lot of fun. So, as you know, not all ingredients are created equally. You know, fresh, high-quality ingredients, they make a real difference. So it's important to know where your food comes from. And thankfully, for less than $10 per person per meal, Blue Apron delivers easy-to-follow recipes along with pre-portioned ingredients, courtesy of over 150 local farms, ranches, and fisheries across the United States right to your door. And because Blue Apron ships the exact amount of each ingredient required for a recipe, there is no food waste. It's everything you need to make sustainable and delicious home-cooked meals in 40 minutes or less. And what's cool is you get a lot of interesting meals. Like, it's not just the same kind of thing. In fact, the menu that you get is really has a lot of interesting variety. Some of the meals available in February include cashew chicken stir-fry with tango mandarins and jasmine rice, udon noodle soup with miso and soft-boiled eggs, roasted pork with apple, walnut, and farro salad, and crispy barramundi with quinoa and roasted carrot salad. This is really interesting stuff. It's the kind of stuff you won't typically find, but they do a great job of giving you everything that you need to make these meals, and they're very interesting. So check out this week's menu and get your first three meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/pressrow. You will love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron, so don't wait. That's blueapron.com/pressrow. Support the Press Row podcast. Help us keep doing what we're doing by going to blueapron.com/pressrow. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. Dave, what's got you most excited for 2017? Top of your list.
Well, Rich, I would have to say Project Cars 2 coming out at the end of the year. It sounds like they're doing some interesting stuff. 170 licensed cars instead of what I think it was like 60 in Project Cars 1. I think they're adding IndyCar. They're going to have a 24-hour day-night cycle, dynamic weather. And I think they're claiming the largest track roster of any console game ever. I think it's more than 60 tracks. So, and I think all the tracks are completely dynamic. I think they rubber up as you go. And they're all laser scanned, or they use this new aerial drone imaging tech for all the tracks. And I think some of the tracks from Project Cars 1 are also getting updated. So I think it also has online championship mode and driver's rating system. So a lot of exciting new things that I think make that the title I'm probably most excited about.
So we probably shouldn't go any further without making sure that we're clear with the gear that you guys use when you play these games, because that's very important in the racing game world. Dave, what's your gear? What's your setup?
Well, I mainly go to my wheel for F1, without a doubt. I have a Thrustmaster TX racing wheel for my Xbox One. And when I play something like Forza Horizon, I play with a controller. I think it just feels better with a controller. The Xbox controller, I think, is fantastic. So I think it depends on the game. But I love my wheel. I love my setup. I use a play seat. And it just really immerses you in the whole experience when you have a wheel and you feel that difference. I think it's just night and day. I recommended it to Ken, told him you got to get a wheel for F1, and I think he's really enjoying that. So, yeah.
All right, so Dr. Ken, to you, what's your setup? What's the wheel? What's the seat? What do you got going on there?
Yeah, so it's funny, since the last time we recorded, Greg was selling me hard on the wheel in that podcast, and I went and talked to Dave afterwards, and I said, oh, Greg was selling me hard on the wheel, and Dave started selling me hard on the wheel, and so I broke down, and I went and bought a Logitech G920, that has a little stand unit there, and yeah, got one of my dining room chairs, and it's not a perfect racing seat by any means, but that's what I'm working with, and really having to learn how to play these racing games again. When I first jumped in, I was, you know, 4 or 5 seconds a lap slower than what I was with the controller, and having to you know, play around with the settings and learn again how to drive. I've got it down to generally being about a second to half a second slower than what I can race on a controller, but the sense of immersion and the sense of fun is much, much higher than with a controller. I'm really enjoying the wheel.
Greg, what do you got going on?
I'm driving a Logitech G29 for the PS4 and PC. It's basically a really similar to the 920, I think. I was using a Fanatec Porsche GT2 for the longest time, back when it was compatible with the 360, the PS3, and PC. But with the new consoles, of course, that didn't work. So I ended up going PS4 because of Gran Turismo. That's the game that I need to have a wheel for. That's the only way I like to play those games at this point. It's funny, though. Actually, I'm glad, Dr. Ken, that you said that you're not quite as fast with the wheel as you are without, because I ended up abandoning the wheel for Formula One 2016. I could not get good at it at all. I just couldn't do it. So I actually use a controller for that game, but yeah, I'll be busting that out. And I've got my setup connected to a PlaySeat Challenge, which is kind of a cool little rig. It's I don't have enough room in this place for a full PlaySeat setup, but the Challenge is basically like a lawn chair with a pallet for the wheel that you can actually attach it to. It all folds up into a nice little package that you can just slide into a closet. But when you pull it out, you got a full racing wheel setup.
Nice. All right. Well, let's talk about, well, let's again, look, everyone said to a person, F1 2016 was the game. There will be an F1 2017. Let's sort of start with that. What are you expecting/hoping for in F1? Greg?
I'm actually hoping that it feels a lot different racing-wise. There are some sweeping changes happening to the rules in F1 this year. Downforce is supposed to be a lot different. It's supposed to really favor downforce-heavy cars, apparently. There's a lot of news coming out about tires being super resilient now, which will completely change Formula One from what it's been for the last, I don't know, 10 years. So I'm looking to see that get reflected. I'm actually very excited, because to me that means if Codemasters does their job, which they normally do, we should have a game that feels entirely different this year, which is just going to be great.
Dr. Kent, same question to you about F1 2017.
Yeah, so I suppose the first thing we're expecting is giant, big, thick tires, because as Greg mentioned, there's been some overhauls to the way that the cars are allowed to be set up this year, and winter testing started I think last week or the week before, and teams have actually been doing laps in earnest, and in the dark recesses of the internet I may have found some semi-legal streams of testing programs to watch on YouTube. And I'm pleased to report that these cars look absolutely incredible, and they are very, very fast. And they are probably between 3 and 4 seconds a lap quicker around Barcelona than they were last year. So they're scorchingly fast. And all the drivers seem to be going very well, apart from a certain Canadian young driver, Greg. But he'll get it eventually. I think my fear for F1 2017 is that they might rest on their laurels. If the career mode is at a point where it was great, there are certain changes that I'd like to see implemented. I mean, while you change teams, the other drivers remain static in theirs, and you don't have that switching around, so it doesn't actually feel like the way that the career projection is not as realistic or as dynamic as it could be.
Now, couldn't licensing prevent that from happening, as opposed to them not being able to figure it out?
Yep.
I suppose so. I mean, it would be similar, though, that if you had a franchise mode in Madden or NBA and you couldn't move players around.
Oh, no, I understand. I'm just wondering.
There may be certain restrictions there. But
although I will call out, Dr. Ken, that I feel like because the way that the season mode, the career mode works in 2016, you basically, as you rise to the ranks, you drum out the second driver in every team if you become the first driver. So I feel like if you got to Mercedes, you'd actually make the game more realistic if you got to the first driver in Mercedes.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah. I think the funny thing about the career mode in 2017 is that, like, when you start your second year in the career mode, it actually just treats it like it's 2016 again. Like, yeah. It doesn't actually update any of the in-game presentation. Like, it still says, "Oh, welcome. Here we are in the 2016 start of the 2016 year in Melbourne." So, well, is this Groundhog Day? Is Bill Murray now racing for Sauber? And so there's certain improvements I'd like to see there, but I'm fearful that they've that those are things that either they can't solve or that they'll be focused on other things.
Dave, same question to you. What are you looking for, hoping for, expecting from F1 this season?
Well, I think they brought so much to the table last year, in my opinion, that it's, you know, what else can they bring? The things that Greg and Ken mentioned make complete sense. I'd like to see, in the older versions, they had marbles building up that were actually affecting the car. I didn't see that in this year's version, so I'd like to see something as small as that, as well as classic content. They had that in F1 2013. They had old cars. They had old tracks. I'd love to be able to run Turkey or Valencia, or tracks that we haven't been able to see in the past couple of games, especially in 2017. So I think 2017 will really change the game again if they can reiterate, bring the cars, the realism of these new cars and the additions that Greg mentioned that are happening in the sport will make a big difference, I think.
Dave, earlier you mentioned Project Cars 2. That is coming out this year, right? Is that end of year, you said?
End of year. It releases at the end of the year. They haven't given a firm date, but my guess would be around November.
Now, I like racing games. Project Cars didn't resonate with me. Mm-hmm. How did it resonate with you and in the market?
Well, I was really excited for it before it came out. I was researching. I was like, this is what I've been looking for. It's got all of these day-to-night transitions. You can run so many different tracks and different cars. When I actually played the game, there was some disappointment to it. I felt like there was way too many settings. I was just confused from the get-go to try to get my wheel set up. They kept changing. Every car you get into just wasn't working. You had to rechange the settings for each car you got into. With Forza, you don't have to do that. Forza Motorsport, you can just literally have one setting and just get into the car that you want, and it just feels right. And here it just felt a little off to me. But I did enjoy what was there outside of those things that I just mentioned. So I have a lot of hope for Project Cars 2. I think that if they can nail that, I think it'll be really good.
Greg, where did Project Cars land for you? I, if we have talked about it, it's been a while. I know that.
We have. We talked about it. I think it was Pete Dodd was on the show with us at that point. And it was a couple weeks after it came out. And I said then that there is a really good game here, but it's really well hidden. Mm. And it's kind of exactly what Dave just said. And I personally, I stuck with it for a month or so and then realized that it was too well hidden for me to deal with. Really. Yeah. I just, you know, I had, you know, the issue one too many times where I was racing a kart and it just suddenly spun on me for no reason, or hopped over a rise and I rolled or something. Like, just there was too much of that happening. It felt like it wasn't quite ready for prime time. But I love the idea of it. I loved the content. I mean, on paper, that game was the perfect racing game for me. But in practice, the physics especially, just it was too hard to dial in, way too hard to dial in.
So, go ahead, Dr. Gale.
Sorry, Rich. I was going to say that Project Cars was actually the one of the Xbox games with gold last month.
I saw that today and started downloading it.
Yeah, so I picked it up again after a long time of not playing it. And, you know, because I knew that there'd been a lot of patches that had come through the pipeline for it. And my impressions of it then were very similar to the impressions I have now, that there is too much variation between the handling models of the particular cars that you're racing. And maybe that is Maybe that is exactly what these cars are like. I don't know. I've never driven a 1986 Lotus F1 car, and never will. But if it handles the way it does in Project Cars, I have no idea how F1 guys ever drove those things, because it's virtually impossible to race in Project Cars. That said, there are so many things that I love about that game. The dynamic day settings that you can set the race to any time during the day. The choice of tracks that they made, particularly the odd tracks, the tracks that you only see in the German touring car series, the secondary tracks in Belgium and Italy, having Imola in the game, stuff like that was absolutely fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, the potential for Project Cars 2 with their ambitions of dynamic weather and of being able to not only set what time of day you want, but the time of year, and that making a difference is quite incredible, and they're full points for ambition, that's for sure.
I have so many questions about that franchise. Are there enough people that in, you know, at the end of the year with the incredibly crowded market, are there enough people with the purchasing power and desire to buy a game like Project Cars 2 coming off of last year? I'll be very interested to see that. At this, you know, something that we also need to touch on across the board is VR, right? VR is in the market. PlayStation VR, Oculus, Vive, and there are some racing experiences. Greg, I believe you have had some recent VR experience with racing games. Correct me if I'm wrong, but what's your take? What have you played, and where are we with racing games in the currently available VR right now?
The only game that I've played, the only racing game that I've played in VR so far was actually the Drive Club demo, and it made me extremely sick. Although I don't think that has to do with racing in VR as much as it has to do with that game, because I've heard almost to a person, anyone who's played that felt quite nauseous afterwards. That's my only experience. I have yet to try Dirt Rally in VR. I believe that's the one that they just released a patch for. And I can't wait to play Gran Turismo Sport in VR. I was kind of hoping, actually, when I saw the setup at GDC this week, for some reason, it was literally right next to all of their other VR demos in the PlayStation booth. So I got really excited that, oh my gosh, I'm going to get to play this in VR, and then, no, not so much. So I'm curious about that. But yeah, that's really the extent, right, of my... Okay. Yep, that's PlayStation VR. That's what I have. I don't have a Vive or an Oculus. And it's too expensive.
No demo of that on the... PlayStation demos.
No.
Unfortunate. Mm-hmm. Dave, do you have any VR systems? If so, do you have any racing games, or have you played any racing games in VR?
No, I haven't. I'm excited to try it. I think it would be very interesting. I am worried about getting sick or dizzy or any of that stuff. But I think if I were to try it, it would be with a racing game. Not with any sort of shooter or horror game or any of that stuff. I'd want to try it with the racing game because I see the potential there. So if I do buy a VR headset, it'll be for a racing game.
Dr. Ken?
Yeah, no, my version of VR is just getting really, really, really close to the TV. That's as close as I get to VR. I actually haven't tried VR full stop. I'm really keen to. But I don't have a high rig PC and don't have a PS4, so I don't even know whether you can even buy them the PS4 VR here in Australia at the moment, because I think they all sold out, and I don't know whether they got any more shipments. So maybe when the Nintendo Classic comes out again, we might be able to get some PSVR as well.
So Forza 7 will in all likelihood be announced, and I would assume be out this year. Greg, do you expect that to happen, that announcement at E3, and do you expect that to happen? And if so, what would you look for and hope for from a brand new Forza proper?
I think it's definitely going to happen this year. I mean, there's so many reasons why, the main one being that is kind of the cadence of the series at this point. You know, we have a Horizon, and then we have a proper Forza game every year, every other year. That, along with the fact that Microsoft needs to show something at E3. It seems like that's going to be one of their flagship titles again. I'm curious which car will rise up onto the stage during their presentation. I expect more of the same, really. I don't know what else I would be expecting from it. I mean, I thought seven was, or was it six? Sorry. The previous one, six, was a fantastic game for what it was. Extremely user friendly. And I'm curious, actually. Yeah. I think Dr. Ken just put this in the chat here, and it's a good point. I think maybe the feature might be what it takes advantage of in regards to Scorpio than any major change to the actual systems. But I could be wrong.
Dr. Ken, you are as dedicated of a Forza fan as I know. Do you expect it this year, and what do you think its focus will be?
When I was looking at in my deep dive of you know, gaming, racing game news, in part to prep for this show, I saw that one of the big wheel manufacturers had actually sent out a tweet that he was really excited, having met with the guys who make Forza 7 and looking forward to better wheel support in their upcoming game. And so basically let out the cat out of the bag that there was absolutely definitely going to be a Forza 7. And I think it will be unveiled with the Scorpio, because racing games are very, very good at showing off new hardware. Mm-hmm. If we think about the original PlayStation and the F1 game that came out with that, the Project Gotham series has often been a launch title with various systems. And in fact, most of the systems I've bought over the years have been because of the new racing game that came out at launch. And if Forza 7 has really cool features with Scorpio, I'll be buying a Scorpio as well.
Wow.
You know, we'll see. So we'll see. I'll go buy it. Can just take my money now.
See, I say that, but I say wow, but if GT Sport comes out and they say, you know, it runs, I don't know, 0.5% better if you have a PS4 Pro, I'll probably be springing for a PS4 Pro.
61 frames a second, Greg. 61.
Done.
Senior NASCAR, what are your thoughts, expectations for the likely to be announced Forza 7?
Yeah, there's no doubt that it's going to be coming out. That's what I think. Forza 7, I think, will be great. You know, Forza 5 was really the only one in the series that really didn't make it for me. But I think they're going to bring it again. I'd like to see some sort of iRacing safety rating implemented. That's something I really enjoyed out of iRacing was, you know, you can, if someone is a dangerous driver, you get flagged for being a dangerous driver, and you're not going to be put with those sort of people. And that would be nice. I really like racing online with multiple people. So something like that would be really cool.
Yeah, but see, then nobody will race because we'll all be banned and we'll all be in these horrible demolition derbies. I don't try to be a bad driver. I just can't help myself, but I still want to be able to race with my friends.
True. Well, I think they could set up, you know, lobbies where it's based on how hardcore you are and all of those things. Do you have a wheel? And then that way you could be pitted with people that are sort of your same caliber, if you will.
Right.
That would be good. But it would be nice to see Porsche back in Forza now that EA's exclusive deal has ended. So I'd look for something like that.
Greg, we mentioned earlier, I want to go back to Gran Turismo. Where are we with this franchise? It's so many years between releases that it's very difficult for it to remain relevant. At least that's how it feels to me. You saw the next one, so clearly it's a game, and clearly it's coming. You know, where are we with this, and can Gran Turismo sort of become a bigger thing, something closer to what it used to be?
That's hard to say. Microsoft and Turn 10 have really sort of eaten Gran Turismo's lunch at this point. And then with the addition of Horizon every other year, I mean, they've just destroyed it. Not only that, I think they've taken out Need for Speed in a major way because of that as well. I still, having said that, when a new Gran Turismo comes out, there's just something about those games. Nothing else feels like those games, and they really speak to me. But even as large as those games have become, they're not big enough to bridge the gap between each new title. And especially when you consider that Sport, as far as I know, Sport is more of one of those stopgap titles. It's not like the next proper Gran Turismo game.
Wait, hold on. Let's not just let that go by. That sounds amazing to me that this game, which has taken 3-4 years,
yeah,
is a stopgap,
yeah,
to a game that is taking, five, seven? Like, that doesn't sound... I have somewhat of an understanding of the massive amount of work that it takes to make a game like that, right? But still, it's 5, 6, 7 years, just it feels like you're not doing it right if it takes that kind of an effort to do these kinds of things.
Well, I mean, this isn't an excuse, but the creator, Kazunori Yamauchi, he's a perfectionist. He's a major car guy, and he's well known for trying to shove as much content as possible into these things right up to the last minute. And because that series has been so successful, he's been given the freedom to do that. I kind of think it's time to take that freedom away, but I guess what you risk there is that he just says, well, then I'm done, and you don't get anything. And unfortunately, Drive Club did not take up the mantle like I think Sony wanted it to. So, you know, Drive Club did a lot of great things, but it was no Gran Turismo replacement. And so I feel like that was Sony's plan. And because it didn't happen, well, they're kind of stuck with this.
Dr. Ken, go ahead.
Yeah, sorry. My sense is that the creator is actually waiting for all of the cars to come out. So not only all the cars that have been in the past, but all future cars need to be in this game. So the 25 Ford Focus, once we've got that released, then we can put it in Gran Turismo and it's going to be good.
You're not wrong. I mean, I had the great honor of interviewing him a couple of times when I was at EGM. And the first time I interviewed him was actually at the Detroit Car Show. And he was there because that was when they unveiled the Mazda RX-8, I believe. And that's what he was there for. But I mean, he's a major car nut, and it's the Detroit Auto Show. So, you know, every new car in the next 2 years was at that show, plus all the concept cars that you can think of. And I had to fit my interview in between him just running around the floor, taking shots of every single car, every single new car he could find. And really, you got the sense that anytime there's a major announcement or a major unveiling or an auto show, it adds 3, 4, 5 more months to development on whatever Gran Turismo is currently happening. And that's really what it is. I mean, you think about Sport, again, meant to be a smaller stopgap title. That was supposed to come out, what, November?
Yeah.
Last year? Mm-hmm. Right? And we still don't actually have a release date, as far as I know.
Yeah.
And it's March. Like, that's nuts. It's absolutely nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think, though, that when it becomes an expansion pack for Star Citizen, Gran Turismo will be really good. but it is sad. I mean, all of us, I think, played, you know, Gran Turismo in years gone by, and it was racing simulation on the consoles. I mean, it was, you know, long before Forza, long before any of these games, Gran Turismo was the big one. It sold PlayStations. It sold PlayStation 2s. It was it was awesome. I can still remember those tracks and those cars and those combinations. And it was very much set the tone for way that driving games and car collecting games should be.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I'm deeply worried about, you know, this next kind of prologue-y kind of approach. I'd like to basically just see them, you know, back up and release a Gran Turismo 7 and let it be glorious. But
yeah,
it doesn't seem like it's going to happen.
And that's the thing. I'm curious when Sony finally takes that level of control away from, because I'm just sort of jumped on the Wikipedia page here. And I mean, sales-wise, that series peaked with Gran Turismo 3. That was almost 15 million sold. Gran Turismo 6, according to this, is sitting at around 5 million sold.
Well, Gran Turismo 6.
Which is still
6,
a huge number, but, you know. But
the problem with that game is it came out on the PS3 after the PS4 had been available.
And you're right, and that was a huge problem because Gran Turismo 5 sold 12 million. So, I mean, it commands sales. It really does. Like, but I don't know if it's worth it anymore because the amount of money they have to spend on those games has to be astronomical.
Yeah, I think, I mean, and they're talking about sort of linking it more into the esports thing with the GT Academy, which is, I mean, I don't know whether that is actually translated into genuine game sales or anything. It certainly is actually translated into some pretty good racing car drivers actually coming out of the PlayStation Totally. Experience. The Bathurst 24-hour champion in Australia, which is a tremendously large event down here, was actually a GT Academy winner. So it's certainly producing that, but are we getting in more games? Sadly not, because, I mean, I'd love to have a PS4 sitting on my entertainment set up here, and I'd love to have a copy of Gran Turismo running in it, but yeah. until they release it, it's not going to happen.
Dave, there are a number of other racing games coming out in 2017. What are the other ones you're looking forward to, and why?
Well, GTR3, made by Simbin, you know, the guys that made one of my favorite racers of all time, GT Legends. I think they're using Unreal Engine 4. And one of the things that they do really well is AI. So I'm really interested in seeing that right now. I think they do Race Room, which I personally haven't tried, but it's interesting. It seems like it's sort of an iRacing type deal where you buy tracks and cars, and I think it has AI, which is one difference from iRacing to Race Room. So I'm really looking forward to GTR3, as well as MXGP3 is another game that sounds very interesting to me. MXGP2 was a pretty good game. It's easily the best motocross game. And it, much like F1, it is the official sanctioned game for the Motocross World Championships. So it did a lot of things right. You know, it had scalable difficulty and terrain deformation. It had all the real world tracks and riders and all of that. But I think there's some things they can do better with MXGP3, and I think they're doing that. You know, the audio just wasn't up to par of the visuals. And now with the new Unreal Engine, I think they'll do a really good job of getting the visuals up to par, and hopefully the audio follows, as well as there was an issue when I would play it. I don't know if any of you guys have played it, but you try to make a pass on the inside line, the AI would wreck you every time. It was 100%, and they know.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yep. So that's supposedly something that's going to get fixed. Yeah, those are the two titles I'm looking forward to besides Project Cars 2. And Forza Motorsport 7.
Dr. Ken, what else? What's on your list of stuff you're looking forward to that we haven't hit on yet?
I think looking at more of the arcade titles, Flat Out 4 has been announced, and I mean, there's a lot of people who are kind of, you know, there was a weird sort of debate in the racing game fans for many years between Flatout and Burnout. Now, I can't understand people who preferred Flatout to Burnout, but there is a weird set. They also, I believe, listen to Rush a lot. But Flatout 4 is coming out. It may be good. It may be terrible. I saw some footage of it that looked pretty ordinary, but there was certainly a whole series of people on my Twitter feed that popped up and thought that Flatout 4 was going to be the best thing that they'd heard about. The other title that I suppose is an interesting one is the new Need for Speed. And where do they take that series? Rich, I know you're a big fan of full motion video. you're a big fan of awkward cutscenes.
It comes from my Love of the Player One podcast, man. It's just
amen, brother. Rubber banding AI. I know you love rubber banding AI. Oh. So I'm sure that the new Need for Speed will be something that ticks all those boxes and more.
Look, I didn't say it was a good game. I said I liked it. Those are very different things. We all know that.
Need for Speed, Game of the Year Edition, Rich Grisham Edition. More
honestly.
More
all they really need to do is release Hot Pursuit 2 HD, and I am there.
Yeah.
That was the last time Need for Speed was good.
We need some more Razor Callahan.
Greg Seward, anything that you are sort of aware of or tracking, looking forward to for 2017 that we haven't hit on?
Well, there's two things that I mean, you know, the other games that we've talked about are probably what I'm more interested. That MX one actually sounds really interesting because I haven't played a motocross game in a long time. And especially if there are stadium events included, I would definitely want to check that out. But two things, though. So the first one we mentioned very much at the top of the show. I'm holding out hope for NASCAR.
Sure.
That might be wishful thinking.
Well, did you play last year's? There was a game that came out last year.
I did, and it was a disappointment. And I hate to say that because I know a lot of the people that worked on that.
Right.
I think we all have connections to that team. It's a good team. You know that they know the sport.
Yep.
There are a lot of the people that have worked on, in my opinion, one of the best versions of NASCAR, or some of the best versions of NASCAR, which were the later NASCAR Thunder games.
Dirt to Daytona.
From EA.
Yep.
Dirt to Daytona as well. But it feels like what they did with last year was they basically dusted off an old NASCAR Heat,
mm-hmm.
ported it to the Unity engine, and pushed it out the door. And I really hope that they're not just going to update it this year, or maybe they will, and that's because they're working on their real re-release. I pray that that's the case. Honestly, if they would just redress one of the Thunder games, I'd be totally happy. Another weird one that I'm kind of interested in, and this is odd. So when the 360, at the end of the 360's life, I ended up buying a bunch of racing games that were cheap. And there were two Baja games that were released on the 360, well, on the PS3 as well. There was one from Activision, which I forget the full name of, but it's one of my most viewed videos on my YouTube channel for some reason. But there was another one released by THQ and a company called 2XL Games called Baja Edge of Control. I just cracked this open for the first time about a month ago, and I've been streaming it on Twitch. And it's just a really nice little off-road racing game. Cars, trucks, buggies, that sort of thing. Not amazing, but, you know, it's fun. I love off-road racing if it's done well. It's arcadey, but it's fun. And they just announced, like, 6 days ago, there's going to be a Baja Edge of Control HD version.
You are all over that. I heard you mention this on the podcast like 2 weeks ago.
I am all over it. Yeah.
That's great.
It's a fun little game. If you
look
can find it
cheap.
Look
at the Player One effect, Greg. Look at the Player One effect.
I don't know. Like, it just came out of the blue. But anyway, fun little game. If you can find it for the PS3 or the Xbox and you don't want to pay full price, probably pay like $20 or less for it. If you like off-road racing, it's a lot of fun. And I'd love to hear that the HD version's coming out. I hope it's priced to sell, and I will be all over it if it is.
The Seward
Thump. The other title that's coming out, which may just be seeking to capitalize on brand confusion, is that Milestone, who are the Italian company that makes the Ride series, mm-hmm. and I just picked up Ride 2, and I'm enjoying that, but that's a separate discussion. They've announced a new game that's going to be coming out mid-year called Gravel, which is not dirt, but is gravel. And it's a giant open world Forza Horizon-esque game that seems to be, you know, diet Forza Horizon. So we'll see what those guys do. I actually quite enjoy the Ride games. They certainly have a passion for motorsport, and they make pretty good actual racing games. The rest of the accoutrement, if you will, is not there. The presentation, the menus, the load times, they're all pretty ordinary. But mm-hmm. when you actually get your bikes on track, it's there. The Ride games are pretty good. So it'll be interesting to see whether they manage to pull something off with the game Gravel.
Nice.
Interesting.
Very good. All right. Well, let's go around the table one last time with the question. I can't ask the question the way that I sort of normally would, because the answer across the board would, all of you would say F1 2017. So taking F1 2017 out, if that were the case, I fully expect blank to be my favorite racing game of 2017. David?
I'm going to say it's a big risk, but I'm going to say Project Cars 2. I hope they change it. I hope they do all the right things and get it there. From what I've read, again, on paper, it looks and sounds very interesting. If they can implement it properly, it will be there.
Greg?
It's got to be Gran Turismo Sport. You know, I'm not worried about whether or not it's a good game when it comes out. I'm more worried about whether it comes out. But having played what I played and knowing that series, it just like butter, man. I can't wait to play it.
And you mentioned it earlier, and I am probably going to get myself a PlayStation 4 Pro at some point this calendar year, and that would be a nice reason to do it as well. As soon as you said that, I'm like, yep, Gran Turismo Sport, that could be what pushes me. Dr. Ken, same question to you.
It's Forza Motorsport 7. The Forza series is just It's the bee's knees as far as I'm concerned. I still play Forza 6 almost daily, and certainly having the new wheel set up has been an excuse for me to go back into Forza 6. And the rain effects, the nighttime effects, when that game launched, not last year but the year before, we were talking about how terrifying it was to race at night in the rain, and that is still true today. The game looks as good as it did, when it first launched. The problems of the AI and things like that, there are nitpicky issues, sure, but Forza 6 was absolutely incredible, and Forza 7, they have made at each step. They've made the games better, and I'm actually a ridiculous defender of Forza Motorsport 5. I actually really enjoyed that and thought that as a launch game on a difficult new console, it was actually leaps and bounds better than everything else that came out at launch. And I think just with Forza Motorsport 7, it's going to be awesome, and I can't wait for it. And I'm going to get really excited when that first launch trailer comes out, because car racing trailers are better than any other type of gaming trailer.
Very good. Well, Dr. Ken, where can people follow you, see what you're going on? How do they find you shouting about racing and all other kinds of things?
Yeah, most of the time people can just find me on my daily commute on the train to work, where I talk about racing games nonstop. But if you want to do it on social media, you can find me at Chairman7.
Senior NASCAR, Dave Benry.
Yes.
Where can people find your work, my good friend?
Yeah, they can find me on Twitter at Senor NASCAR. Easiest way to find me. I'm also on Xbox, Senor NASCAR on Xbox as well.
Mr. Stewart, Player One Podcast, of course, Generation 16. What are all the ways that people can connect with you, sir?
Easiest way to connect with me is Twitter, at Stewart, S-E-W-A-R-T.
Thank you, as always, gentlemen. It is always a pleasure to talk racing games with people who play them and know them best. Thanks for your time, everybody. We will talk with you again. I don't know. We'll get together a couple more times through the year as these games come out, right? To describe the good, the bad, and the ugly. Does that work?
Absolutely.
Sounds good.
Perfect. Thanks, cool. Everybody, for listening. We'll talk to you again soon.